Greetings in the name of the Lord. We have been thinking together about what makes a true spiritual Christian home. I think I pointed out in the very beginning of this long series of messages the fact that many homes really are not pleasing to God. Even if the parents are Christians, the homes may not be pleasing to God. In this series of messages, we have not been able to consider everything, but I've tried to take a couple of very important subjects. We took 10 messages just on the subject of what qualities should a husband and wife look for in the life of the other one. What qualities should they expect from their marriage partner? I pointed out even to young people who are planning to get married the importance of choosing someone for your life who would have spiritual qualities that you would admire, spiritual qualities that you could expect in the life of that person. And I gave the warning, in fact, for young people who plan to be married, that if these spiritual qualities are not present in the one you're planning to marry, if these are qualities you yourself have in your own life, but they're not present in the life of the other person, and they probably never will be, it may give you reason to decide that this is not the right person for you to marry. And so we talked about spiritual qualities. And then we began the subject of some of the things that children should expect from their parents. What kind of qualities should they expect from us as parents? I pointed out that we as parents would prefer it to be the other way. What qualities should we expect from our children? But since these parents are the ones listening to the program, I want to emphasize that our children have a right to expect things of us, and we are to meet a standard in our lives as parents, and our children have the right to expect us to meet the standards set by the Word of God. We've considered a number of these, and today I want to talk about the spiritual and tender love that we have for our children. The spiritual and the tender love that we have for our children. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 7, we read these words, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse or a nursing mother cherisheth her children. We were gentle among you, even as a nurse or a nursing mother cherisheth her children." In the second chapter of the book of 1 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul is given a list of all of the qualities that he had manifested to the Thessalonians when he preached the gospel to them. He speaks of many of them. There is a list of about 10 or 11 of these qualities that the Apostle Paul had manifested in his life. And one of them, in verse 7, had to do with the tender love he had for them. The very tender love he had and the tender way he manifested his ministry among them. And I want to talk about this with you because this idea of tender-heartedness is an idea that's carried out throughout the New Testament. You find this, for instance, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, where he says, "Be ye tender-hearted, be ye tender-hearted." And then, of course, he goes on to the idea of forgiveness from there. But this word tender-hearted is used there in Philippians chapter 4, verse 32. Now, in our relationship with the children, there are many, many ways we teach the children. Sometimes we even have to discipline the children in their lives with us. But in everything, the children notice a tender-hearted spirit that we show to them. This is one of the characteristics, especially of a mother. When you think of a wife and a mother, you think, as Paul points out in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 7, you think, for instance, of a mother with a tiny baby. She's holding this tiny newborn baby in her arms. She is holding it so tenderly and so lovingly. She is holding it so that nothing would happen to that child. She's speaking to it in a very tender way. With a tender voice, she addresses that little child. She would never raise her voice or startle that child in any way. And so that picture is a picture that all of us can imagine, the picture of a mother with a newborn baby. But throughout the life of the child is to feel this tender attitude in the parents, this tender love of the parents. Should a father have a tender love for a child? Of course he should. Even though his characteristics might not be the same as a mother, nevertheless, the father is to have the same tender love for a child that the mother has. And that love should be expressed to the child. It's not just something he has, but it's something he expresses constantly to the child. I have a section in my marriage manuscript, which is available, in fact, in the bookstore here at Harvest. But the marriage manuscript has a section on the discipline of children. And there is great argument among Christians as to how we discipline a child, especially when a child needs a firm hand upon them. And how do we discipline a child? There are those who say, for instance, never use your hand in disciplining a child, because the hand indicates love, and discipline is not love. And I would disagree with that. I believe that discipline is to be done in love, and that a child is to know that even in discipline, the parent tenderly loves that child. And so I believe in the use of the hand. I believe in the use of it sparingly. I don't believe in ever disciplining a child in anger or in frustration, but I do believe in discipline in love. And so it's a hand of love that is forced to discipline that child. And even though that hand has been used perhaps to spank a child, nevertheless, the child knows that that's a hand of love, and that that parent tenderly loves that child, and that the discipline is for the good of the child. This is the way God disciplines us, in fact. When God, in Hebrews chapter 12, when the Word of God speaks of the discipline of God, and when God disciplines us, as pointed out in Hebrews chapter 12, it's in love that God disciplines us for our good. And we know that it's a loving God who is disciplining us, a God who has tender love for us, tender concern for us. And so even in discipline, I have learned there is still to be love. Now, when I would discipline my child, and I don't want to go into this subject today, it's a separate subject altogether, but let me just illustrate this. When I would discipline my young son, I had two sons, and sometimes I had to discipline them. I did it, first of all, not in front of the other children. I would always do it in a way that they would not be shamed or hurt in front of the other children in the family, or mocked by the other children in the family. And then I would always pray with them before I would discipline them. When I had to spank them, for instance, I would always pray with them first. And we would pray together. I would explain to them why I had to discipline them. And then I would pray with them. And then I would use restrained discipline with them. In other words, I never remember ever having to spank any of them to any extent. I would use very restrained discipline with them. But there would be discipline of some kind with them. And then after I would discipline them, I would pray again with them. We would commit the whole matter to the Lord. And again, I would express my love and my concern for them. I would explain again why I had done it. Now, this seems like a long process, but I wanted that child to know that my love for them never ceased, even as a father who was in charge of the discipline of the home. And it seems that the fathers usually would be the ones to do most of the disciplining. But even when I had to discipline my son, I wanted them to know that I did it in love, and that they could count on my love, they could count on my concern, and that love and concern would never be lacking in any possible way. And so these children of mine grew up knowing they had a father who loved them, and of course a mother who loved them as well. My wife was very tender with them in every possible way. I never remember my wife being angry at the children, but firmly and tenderly she would rebuke them, or she would instruct them, or she would discipline them. And so my wife had the same attitude, and we believed in this, and we prayed about this as husband and wife, that this would always be our attitude with our children. We would always express tender love for them, and they would know this. And so in every relationship of life, not only in the home, but in a relationship with husband and wife, our relationship with other Christians, in every relationship of life, tenderness in our love for them is to be the characteristic which follows us and which is part of our lives. And especially this is true of something children can expect of their parents, that there would always be this tender love of the parents for the child. I want to leave with you just a couple of suggestions about this matter of tender love. First of all, I believe that we as parents have to continually examine ourselves concerning this. In other words, what is the message I'm getting across to my children? What do they think of me? Not just what do I think of myself and how I feel, but what do the children see in my life? They're going to see it in everything, the way I speak to them. I remember Pastor Heron one Sunday speaking on the idea of not raising our voices when we speak to another person. And I think this is true in the husband-wife relationship. It's also true in the parent-child relationship. We don't raise our voices. We don't shout at people. We don't angrily rebuke anyone. In other words, the tone of our voice many times will express the way we feel inside. A person should be in complete control of himself, but it's control of love itself. So when we are in with our children, it is very important that they know that this is our attitude. And then, of course, the way we express it in every possible way, our concern for them, the way we express concern for their needs and their problems and everything, this has to do with love. It has to do with a heart that tenderly loves them, and the concern of the heart comes out in the way we treat them. And so this is also very important. I also believe that this is a matter that needs to be discussed with the children. Sometimes the children will wonder about this, and I think it's right for parents to discuss this idea of their love for them with the child himself, even when hard things have to happen. The parent can discuss with a child that there is always love in the heart of the parent. They never need to doubt the love of the parent. And when hard things are not happening, that child will see again this love fully expressed. The child may doubt it sometimes, especially when hard times come. I have talked about, for instance, the time when a child might be openly rebellious. What do we do with such a child? When a child is openly rebellious, you take an older teenage child, 18, 19, 20 years of age, and this child perhaps is on drugs. This child is living in immorality. This child is openly rebellious in the home. What happens when a child perhaps is forced to leave the home because he's a bad influence on the other children? He will not follow the standards of the home, and he's tearing down the home by the way he's acting and conducting himself. Even in this hard circumstance, the child still knows the parent loves them. In other words, even in hard things, the parent still is showing tender love for the child. Now I want to stop with this, but I want to leave this with you, that you might examine your own hearts and your own lives concerning the way you express your love for your child and what you actually feel for your children. Is the tender love there, and do you express it correctly? May the Lord help you in your lives to follow God's way and to have a tender love for your children.